B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're very big.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And during this COVID thing, I think that many people are going through many different things, and I certainly had my time of freaking out. So, like many healthy people, I've not been drinking for a while, and so I was looking for something to take its place. And so at first I thought, you know, I know a lot of people that smoke cigars, and they seem to pretend that they like them. And then I didn't like that. So I said, you know what I'll do is I'll chew tobacco.
Oh, what? That might be the worst thing you could replace it with. Dude, first of all, I mean, when did you try it? Like, was it yesterday?
I have the tin. I have not put it in because the last time I chewed tobacco or dipped was it was a St. Patrick's Day, and I think I had a beer, and it was fine, and I was walking by the Irish Village, and my friend gave me a dip. And I put it in, and I fell down right in front of the Irish Village. Yep. That thing hits you like a truck.
Dude.
You haven't done it in a long time. And I haven't smoked since 2014.
I got high when I tried that. So, I mean, you know, in Kennesaw, Georgia, everyone around you chews tobacco. It's everywhere. As a matter of fact, my older brother even did it. And I told you about the one time where he had the cup. We had the two cup holders in the car, and I grabbed the wrong cup, and it ended up being his dip cup that I drank out of.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so gross. He always had stuff on his lip, and it's everyone around you did that. So in high school, I tried it, and you're right, Fred. I saw white. Like, I got high.
Oh, no, that's what we – because I never smoked pot in high school and or drank for that matter, but we would – like dipping was getting high. Like we would dip and it would like get us high.
And it's an awful high too. And that taste, you just can't get it out of your mouth.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's better than drinking. It's like, it's funny, like when people like stop drinking, they start smoking, and like it's cool to like stop smoking, which I would argue that smoking physically is probably worse for you than drinking, even though I don't know.
Especially chewing tobacco. I mean, the type of the cancer, like it doesn't end well for people who chew tobacco. It's not the best.
Chipper Jones is still kicking around. Terry Francona is doing okay.
The seeds, baby. That's seeds.
No,
Terry Francona's a seeds guy.
No, Terry Francona.
No.
At least he takes gum. He does like
wraps
chaw.
It around.
He takes gum and wraps it around chaw. Yeah. Like the gross,
he actually
like,
ooh, yeah, gross. Larry Lucchino, while Francona was the manager, actually bet him that he couldn't go without chew for a long period of time, and if he did, he had to give money to charity. Francona paid up. He lasted maybe 2 months and then had to give it up, you know? So, yeah, he was a chew
but
guy.
But he used that, which I've never really understood. I've put it in my mouth before. But he used those, like, leaves, like the real stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
the ground
Red
up.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And he would take it, and he would wrap gum around it, and then, like, just have that big bulge in it. And that's the life right there. That shows you're a lifer.
Fred, that was a sound. It's like the soundtrack of my childhood where people packing their tins. Just slap, you know, taking the tin and like hitting it against their hands to pack the tobacco before they put it in their lip. It was just like everywhere. It's like, you know, packing cigarettes, but it was the packing of the tin that you would do.
And then you had the posers that did the ones that were good for you that were pre-packed.
Oh, what were they?
What was
that called? Yeah, Skull Bandit, that's right.
Yeah, those were like the ones like, all right, you're not even trying.
Ooh, no, yeah,
Vantages that have the filter.
Vantage. Jeez, that is, as a matter of fact, there was one time where when I was in third grade, we were supposed to draw something from around our house and bring in the picture, and mine was a giant picture of a pack of Vantage smokes. Because it was just everywhere. Like, I mean, that was the brand that my parents used to smoke, and they smoked, I mean, just cartons. I think my mother might have smoked two packs a day when I was a kid. Now, she ended up quitting. My father did not. But, I mean, it was Vantage. That was the smoke of choice around the Shirtley house.
Yeah, I'm looking at a old caricature that someone from my dad's agency made of him back in the day. And It says on the, there's two posters on the wall, loves olives, and there's two martini glasses. Hates radishes because he was on this radish diet. And then next to him, up to his waist, is a pack of Merits. I'm looking at it right now, and next to a Steelers helmet. But there is a huge pack of Merits, which I used to steal. I smoked Merits for years. Years and years and years. Well, I started smoking when I was 12. So I smoked from when I was 12 and then 6 years ago. So 12 until I was 39.
Oh, jeez.
So that's a long time, baby.
So you're replacing, I'm sorry, you're replacing drinking with something else? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. While I'm taking this hiatus, you gotta replace it with something bad.
I know what you mean. You're trying to like substitute, like, you know, one for the
something bad for something bad.
And chewing tobacco is what you went to. Like, of all the ones, that just seems like the grossest.
Well, what else are you gonna do?
I mean, jiu-jitsu, you know.
Maybe I've been playing golf. I've been playing golf. I've been on the boat. I've been on the
jet ski. Chew some bubble gum, Fred. That's good for you.
Dude, I'll send you a nice... I got the 10-DVD Billy Blank series, okay? I'll send you some Tybo. I bought it back in 97. And if you want to get a good workout, Billy Blank's is where it's at.
No, you got to exchange something bad for something worse. That's the way you got to do it. You got to knock it out that way.
Do something nerdy, man. You know, replace it with, like, you know, those figurines that you can paint.
Yeah, bring it over here. Maybe I can help you.
Just, like,
no,
do something
I'm fine.
Like that.
I'm fine with, I mean, forever along this list, I'm fine. It's just the...
You're not going in the right direction if you go from that to dipping. You know what I mean? It's like, there's like a weird... try to fill it with something at least on the scale going in, like, upwards. It doesn't have to be great. You know, it could be eating like Cheetos or, you know, something like super fatty or like
that's a baby step, yeah.
It's a baby step, but at least it's in the right
direction.
It's in the right direction. You know? Just shove your face with Little Debbie's. Get some Drake cakes in there, Fred. Make it rain Drake cakes. Maine. What up, Maine?
It makes you fat, you gotta dip. It's the only way around it.
Oh, man.
It's the only way around it.
Living with dippers is the worst, too. Oh, it's just every... That juice is everywhere.
Every Gatorade bottle.
Yep, yep. And they're all sitting around, and you don't know when you're picking one up, and it's like, oh, this is disgusting. And, like, there's that smell that permeates as well. Now, I'd rather live with a dipper than a chronic smoker like my parents were. As a matter of fact, for years, I would go to school, and everyone would be like, dude, you smoke? And I'm like, no. And they'd be like, man, all your clothes smell like smoke every day. And when you live around it, you just can't tell. And then sure enough, I remember I went to college, and I remember coming back to my parents' house, and all it took was like a couple months away for me to go, oh, my God, this house smells like smoke. And how did I never notice this? But, yeah, that dipping
growing,
is –
Growing up, I didn't know – I probably didn't know anyone who didn't smoke that I can recall. Like, anyone that I hung out with, everyone smoked. Everyone's parents smoked. It was just something that everyone did. I mean, it sounds like we're fossils, but, I mean, I mean, everyone smoked in college. I don't like, athletes smoked in college. Like, everyone just smoked. You just did it.
You see,
everyone smoked in high school.
By the time we got to college, it wasn't as much smoking as it was the guy who had the ironic pipe. There was always that guy. It was
I never met one of them.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Everyone smoked in college. Everyone smoked in Atlanta when I moved there. You just smoked. I mean, hell, everyone smoked in Atlanta 5 years ago because I went into a bar and I was like, oh, my God, you can smoke in bars. This is fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, or maybe 6 years ago. But nonetheless, like, my friends still smoke in Atlanta. Yeah, there was a time where I can't tell you anyone who didn't smoke. I mean, maybe the nerds, maybe not the cool kids, but you never smoked, huh? Even growing up in, you never smoked.
Everyone in my house smoked except for, out of the seven of us, only two of us didn't smoke. My mother quit. You know, my mother quit by, she went to a hypnotist and it worked. It was really strange because, I mean, she's the last person who would have ever believed that that would work, but a friend of hers swore by it. And from that moment on, it was like cold turkey. Like, she never regressed, never went back. And it was weird, too, because there was a point where I remember my older brother, who was only maybe 17 at the time, but he was still like a junior in high school. And I remember us like sitting down to watch TV and my brother just lighting up a cigarette. And I remember going, oh, my God, he's going to get killed by my parents. And my parents just sitting there. And I remember asking my mom at one point, going, Mom, why didn't you say anything to Matt? She's like, I mean, he can smoke if he wants. I mean, it's his life. And I was like, what? Who are these parents? Dude, you took MTV away when Madonna had a video on you didn't like. It killed me. I lived with that. You tore my Guns N' Roses posters off the wall. Yeah, my brother is smoking in front of you when he's in high school at home. And it's like, yeah, cool, man.
When I got older, like, my mom really didn't smoke. But when she got really mad at me, she would sit down, like, sullenly in this chair. Did you have a chair that no one ever sat in, like, in your living room? Like, with the TV, there was just, like, a kind of... that we had, like, a love seat and a sofa, and then there was a chair that was, like, out of... We have one in my house now. There's, like, a chair that no one really sits in because it doesn't face the TV.
Sure.
And she would solemnly sit in the chair and then light a cigarette and look at me as if... Look, she might have even said it. Look at what you're making me do. like you're killing your mother. I'm smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, I'm upstairs with 10 packs of Merits. And my mom would go, you didn't smoke. And I'm like, I would have five friends in my room all smoking. Like, I just thought it was this, like, unspoken, you know, unspoken thing that we all knew about. But apparently, I think your memory as you get older, well, I know it just focuses completely on the positives. And not anything that negatively happened, but
my
I have not put the dip in my mouth yet.
Oh,
but I have to assume it's going to happen today.
Don't, dude. You're going to hate it. You're going to hate it.
No, it's going to. It's I'm going to hate it, and then I'm going to make myself like it.
You're going to hate it until I like it.
Well, at least you have a plan. Good for you.
No, I'm just playing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Probably not. All right. Oh, there's the spruce. All right, Rich, what do you want to do next? You got anything in mind here?
Well, tonight at, I believe, is it 8:30 or 9 o'clock? Tonight, you're getting a whole lot of Gronk, and we've got a preview of that.
All right, we will hear that coming up in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Name something that can be inflated or deflated.
I don't even want this one.
That's a smart man.
Football superstar Rob Gronkowski joins Celebrity Family Feud. Premieres Sunday, June 21st on ABC.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, everyone loves Rob Gronkowski. I mean, he's part of the Tom Gon or whatever the hell they're calling that stupid thing. I'm really starting not to like Tom Brady as a human being. I found him peculiar, but now that he's trying to make himself somewhat likable, I find him to be someone I
you
would
will
hate.
Not let him do that.
doesn't he seem like someone that you would hate? Like a guy that he's like ultra competitive, but then when he tries to be funny, he has the ghost of Hootie and the Blowfish over his shoulder. I mean, it just, he seems to bring nothing to the table.
That is how everyone outside of New England thinks of Tom Brady. He is the person that everybody outside of New England roots against.
It's our turn. We've missed out.
Everyone hates him. He's mocked. He's way too perfect.
No. Stop that. Stop that. That's not the point, because everyone will say that. That's not the point. There are plenty of very talented people. There are plenty of geniuses, if you don't want to use the overturn.
Oh, that's just part of it, Fred.
No.
He was on Entourage.
That people, right, but hang on a second, because the perfect thing I'm sick of, because he's inherently not perfect at all. In fact, his imperfections are the likes of sometimes imperfections, often imperfections are what makes someone compelling or, someone that you would like to spend time with. But his imperfections are that of a douche. And so his hyper-competitiveness, his inability to break balls, his daddish sense of humor all lead me into not liking the man. I don't care for him. It, regardless of his football thing, the TB Times annoyed me. Everything about him annoys me. He seems like someone I would not enjoy spending time with. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind that wife of his.
They made a TikTok last night, the two of them together. It was very funny. They had to close their eyes and they were asked questions like, who's the one who spends the most in the family? And they had to point at the one that they thought it was, their eyes closed. Like, ah, they'd never get it.
Wait, who did that?
It was TikTok. They did it on TikTok.
No, I know what TikTok is. Who did it?
It was Giselle and Tom Brady. And they were asked a bunch of questions. They had to close their eyes. And they would say, all right, which one of you is the pickiest? And then like they would point at each other and not know what who pointed at what.
I'm going to say that Tom was the pickiest.
He thinks it was her. She thinks it's him.
But he likes avocado toast.
Yeah, and they're like, which one is the most forgiving? And, of course, he points at her. And she's
like, ah, she's my better half. I mean, what can I say?
That's right. Which one is the best looking? And both of them are like, yeah, you know, hands in the air. I don't know.
He's got, he's got like a wood sign that says, I can do whatever I want. As long as she says okay.
Uh-huh. So that, so yeah, he's doing his best to become a human being. But there is one gentleman who I know that we all love, and even though he is being a little overexposed, but it's not like he hasn't been the king of mid-season replacement game shows before, as we played right there when he was on The Family Feud. But Rob Gronkowski is the star of a new show that is going to be on starting tonight that we've been talking about called Game On. Now, Game On is positioned as a kind of a fun battle of athletic talents between Venus Williams and Rob Gronkowski. It's hosted by, what's his name, Keegan-Michael Key, I think is Key. The dude from Key and Peele, the one who's not the director of
the native of Detroit, Michigan, yes.
That's right. And there's a couple other comedians. But make no mistake, this is the Rob Gronkowski show. And everything on this that it's
who produced
that,
it?
That would be your buddy, James Corden.
I wonder why he picked Rob Gronkowski.
He's got a lovely personality.
He looks good shirtless. So there is
a... Are you going to wear a tight shirt? I'm married with children.
So you've seen the video that, of course, James Corden...
Of all the people who auditioned, I liked you the best.
And Rob Gronkowski, of course, as Laker girls, because James Corden was like, throw me in the Briar Patch.
And he's like, oh, you know what I love, Rod? Laker girls. They dance and they prance and they're sexy. Now, Robin.
So actually, Dan,
sleeveless.
Play yesterday's first here, if you could switch it to that. So the way that this works is it's Rob Gronkowski versus Serena Williams, and there's two comedians. It's who's the guy who the fat guy who makes the jokes about
Louis Anderson?
Yeah, no, Louis Anderson. Nah, yeah. The show. Nah,
Rob. Venus. I wish I was on Venus. I couldn't breathe.
No, you couldn't breathe. That would not be a good thing. And the two of them go against each other in athletic battles. But in this case, but it's basically over the top and wacky. Here is one of the battles where he goes against the world's strongest man in pushing a log. Like, there's a log in between the two of them, and who can push the other one towards a pit of foam?
What, there's nothing phallic about that.
Subject James Corden was enjoying himself.
I'm married with children.
So let's take a listen.
The challengers, Rob Gronkowski and Bobby Lee, with great fanfare and hopes high, ride majestically. The world's strongest man, Martins Lisis, proudly enters as we await the Pillar of Hercules. Martins is in a foul mood. You can see the might. You can sense the fear. Strategies? Yep, don't get steamrolled. On display, brute strength, utilizing incredible force.
Stop. What was the TV show or movie that had the fake game show called Ow My Balls, where people just get kicked in the balls?
I don't remember.
There was like a movie, or it's like a new show called Ow, It's My Balls. And it's just the whole game show. It's get ready to get kicked in the balls. Oh, no. Your balls.
That's what this is. Bobby Lee's pretty funny. He's been on the show before, but he's probably about 4'11". And that is a total misdirection by James Corden.
Oh, look, it's my friend Bobby Lee. Now here's a hunk.
I think it's Idiocracy.
If it was all about hunks, why would Bobby Lee be here? Or the Laker cheerleaders, for that matter. I'm married with children.
Let's let it roll.
Strategies? Yep. Don't get steamrolled. On display, brute strength, utilizing incredible force.
Yes.
Meaningless, silly tactics used by Bobby and Gronk are laughable in the face of the powerful Lisi as the world's strongest man prevails in this epic Pillar of Hercules.
Yay! Gronk, how are you feeling, buddy?
Fantastic.
And it's got him, like, lying in a pit on his back. Fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what. If that's the reel right there that they're putting out there, I got to tell you, this seems like a really good show. What do they call the reel where they try to, like, get you
sizzle
in?
Sizzle reel.
Yeah, if that's the sizzle reel.
Sizzling.
I am in.
Now, the one smart move.
You know, this was just a, he didn't even want it made. Don't even pick it up. Just allow me. The world's strongest man versus Gronkowski in the long challenge.
Is there a sport where everyone takes their clothes off down to the underwear and covers themselves with bologna? Because that's a sport that we will be doing next, yeah. Rob. Get ready.
Let's play Desert Island.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We're all trapped on a desert island. What to do?
Now, one person was smart. There's one person who's a producer that's not James Corden who said, all right, I know somebody we need to sign up for the show along with Rob Gronkowski. Unfortunately, he was completely wasted because that person was J.R. Smith. And if they did J.R. Smith, you would just basically have a trampoline made out of, like, asses.
I love
like
J.R. Smith's thuggish ways.
That's right. Because he's so obsessed with asses, much like Stephen A. Smith. I would just have, like, a bouncing contest, and they would just have these two huge mounds.
What if Stephen... You know what would be funny?
What's that?
And honestly funny? And I almost hesitate to say it because it would be a really funny show, is if you found out, like, a guy like J.R. Smith loved asses,
yeah,
and you had, like, a mental game where you had to, like, put things in, like, certain positions, and you just, like, slowly had two chicks with big butts come out. Like, see if he could still do the task without getting. Like, you would have Stephen A. Smith, and then you'd have James Corden with, I don't know, like a dying
sure.
team.
Sure.
And so,
I'm a body team.
And so, and like, see if they could still do the task. It could be called Doing the Butt.
No, I mean, I think there's already a name for it and a theme song for that game show. And it would be, you know who the Don Pardo would be? John Wallach.
Me.
You'd be the guy, come on down.
You know how many times when he was growing up, he would have his baseball almanac, but in the pages he would have a plus size lingerie magazine catalog. John, what are you doing with your head in that book again?
Nothing.
Studying, Dad. Studying.
Studying the female form. Says in the mud flaps. All right. Well, if that's the sizzle reel, I got to tell you. I don't even know if I can watch it to make fun of it. That is bad, bad, bad.
Well, it's, you know what? That's a show for, that's like a kid show. Like, that's right. Like Wipeout. That's a Wipeout type show. And I know why it's on. And to be quite honest, I'm kind of glad it's there so I can turn it on and just, the kids will like it. And I can kind of sit back and go, all right, it's Rob Gronkowski. That's what it's made for. Lazy fathers like myself.
Yeah. And, well, my kids have long given up watching TV. So that's out the window. They are either outside or they are playing Roadblocks or the stupid Fortnite game. All right. I love my son screaming into the microphone while I'm trying to do anything. All right. When we come back, Rich, we are going to have the stack. And what will be some topics that we discuss during the stack?
The ESPYs are going to go a whole different route this year. On top of that, there is a bunch of experts who are asked when they believe large concerts are going to return. And I have a story that I have been reading and laughing my ass off about somebody who is my new hero. He lives in Minneapolis, and he drives the coolest, one of the coolest vehicles that you could imagine.
Well, I can tell you when the concerts are going to open up again, and that's when the crew go out on tour. All right. I mean, no one's going to stop that one. All right. I have a feeling Joe Elliott's too much of a puss to go out on stage. So you get knocked Def Leppard off that bill, and you just give me 2 hours of the crew. And at the end, they just have Vince Neil on a stool with oxygen. Just... not being able to get through the rest of it. All right, here are the headlines.
We're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Well, by the time it was all done, the match, Champions for Charity, the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods extravaganza, ended up being the highest rated golf match ever on cable television. And as I saw that stat, I thought to myself, is that impressive? The reason I'm asking that is that, like, when is a major golf event not on regular, like, broadcast television?
First couple rounds of majors aren't on networks.
So Dan just said the Masters is on ESPN. I thought the Masters was on ABC.
It's on ABC on the weekend.
On CBS.
Or CBS.
Okay, yeah, but then once again, it's ABC, CBS, NBC.
No, two rounds. ESPN got the last couple of years. Sorry, Rich, the first two couple of rounds, ESPN got exclusive afternoon rights to the Masters.
So it beat the Thursday edition.
Thursday, Friday, and then edition. The U.S. Open for the past couple of years has been on FS1, I think, which I don't know who has FS1, but the first couple of rounds that Joe Buck and a couple other guys did on the U.S. Open.
Okay.
FS1 qualifies as that cable channel as well.
All right. I mean, I know a lot of people watch it. Matter of fact, if you compare the numbers, it's the same amount of people who were watching The Last Dance, which is, once again, very good, but that was also an ESPN thing on the Sunday night. I thought it was going to do a little bit more than that, to be quite honest, but it was successful, and it did raise a lot of money for charity. So you know what that means? It sounds like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are going to make this an annual thing. The match, Champions for Charity, is something that they are in talks with doing once a year. Now,
good, they better create another virus, because that's the only reason that did so well.
Well, the first one did pretty good. Did okay. The first time
that was the pay-per-view. That was the pay-per-view one. It didn't do that good.
It ended up not being pay-per-view.
Well, that shows what I know. I can't imagine that it did overly well. But
I think it did. I think it did good. Not like this. But
no, not like this. No. And it did. I'll tell you what it will do. It will do like the one that Rory McIlroy did the week before. That's what it will be like.
Nobody watched. Well, unless they are wise on who they pick as their partners. And I saw somebody actually, this is not my idea, but I saw somebody put out there, what if you got Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas as being the partners? That would be something I wouldn't mind watching, because the two of them obviously hate each other and have contradicted each other, as a matter of fact, when it comes to whether or not Michael Jordan said Isaiah Thomas did not want him on the Dream Team. Remember in The Last Dance, he goes, no, that was never my thing. And then this old interview just got brought up from, I guess, a podcast he did years ago, where Michael Jordan admits that he said that he lobbied to not have Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. Just once again showing that The Last Dance is Michael Jordan's big PR documentary. Doesn't mean it wasn't awesomely entertaining and amazing TV. It is also, however, the way Michael Jordan wants you to think things happen. As a matter of fact, Sam Smith, that's his name, right? The guy who ultimately wrote the Jordan Rules book that came out. He said that a lot of the stuff that Jordan talked about in The Last Dance was either made up or lies. As a matter of fact, he said that the flu game explanation was complete nonsense. He said there were several things in the documentary. He said, what I saw, I would know that he made up or he lied about. He goes, you know, there weren't major things, but it was like all these outlines of what happened. He goes, the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense. There were a couple other things that I won't go into. So he's left and right being told that he's been lying throughout his documentary.
Yeah, well,
Fred,
I mean,
Johnny, are you there? Okay, good. I didn't know if you dropped out for a second. It was so quiet.
No, it's interesting because Chuck Daly was the coach of that team, and he really screwed Isaiah there. I mean, Isaiah won him those championships. He was the reason that Chuck Daly was the coach. So, I mean, good for him. I hope they're all satisfied.
Well, according to Sam Smith, the guy who wrote the book, he said he was ill. There's no question. I think he had something that wasn't as manly as maybe some other episodes. What they were doing, they were going up to Park City in the mountains at the ski area to stay. So they had to practice in Salt Lake City. So they kept coming in and out, in and out. And he said, I think it was altitude sickness. The symptoms that he had fit that much more than anything else that he had. He goes, there's no question he was ill. No one would deny that. And he said, but the pizza thing was absolute nonsense.
Well, there's nothing manlier than savage diarrhea. I mean, that's
I think
what
they
Superman
opened up for Motley Crue back in the day.
Oh, no. Savage Diarrhea are a new band. They're the new crew. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at Superman and Batman, what do they all have in common? When he would get kryptonite, he would go, I got diarrhea. So you always think of that when the manly stuff. Like, remember in Indiana Jones when he's getting chased by the Nazis and he's like, hang on a sec, guys. He's got the balls rolling and he's
running
Whoa.
From the boulder. Yeah. And he just says, I got a boulder in my own.
It's a metaphor for getting to the bathroom.
That's how it feels. It's like the closer you get to the bathroom, the more it feels like the ball's about to roll you over.
John, is that close enough to a fart joke that your kids will be satisfied?
I think John's gone.
Well, that's a shame.
John, where are you?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
You want to know when John talks? Do you really want to know when John talks? When we're not on the air. I can't get two words to Dan. John just talks and talks and talks.
Fred, that's wrong. It's just timing. It's always when you are talking to me, John is talking to me.
Isn't that right, John? He doesn't talk a lot?
John?
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
Yes. What?
John and I have conversations off the air, sure.
No, it's not intentional, and I've become very paranoid about that. Only talk to Dan when I have business. I don't want to be the guy. So I've decided to cut way back on that. Come on.
Business is booming.
Yes, as always.
Speaking of booming, John, what did you tweet yesterday about the show?
Oh, my son was upset we didn't talk about farts more. He was very upset about that.
Well, I will give them this, and I'm breaking the news now, no pun intended. Tomorrow we have a brand new edition of Fart Court.
Excellent.
Oh, Lord.
just for your kids. So,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Did I bring my white wig to Tennessee?
Yeah, you're going to have to find
my powdered wig.
That's right. We'll have to call it to session tomorrow. Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Antonio Brown. Okay, thank you. You can cut that off now.
I like that my son is just... My kids do no work. My son's supposed to be reading right now, and I just got an email that he attached some Twitch account to my Amazon account. I just wish he had half a brain in his head that he knew that. And then I'll go, you did it. And then he'll deny it, and then I'll show him it. And then he'll go, I didn't know I said it, Dad. You got to believe me. All right. Well, that's just what's going on here. All right.
That's good. Well, promoters aren't expecting large concerts to return for a while until at least summer 2021. A New York Times article that was published this weekend talked to a bunch of different executives, and all are pointing to next summer as the time that they can realistically start booking concerts at fairly big venues. Now, there's governments that are opening up things and saying that you can have them here, but when it comes to the actual booking of the venues, it sounds like most bands, most booking agents aren't putting anything inked like a pen to paper until they're saying May of next year. They said it doesn't seem likely they're going to be able to have these shows in the fall. For the artists that we represent, we believe it's safer to move on to 2021. Now, as of now, there's still like festivals like Coachella that are scheduled for the fall, but it doesn't sound like they're going to end up being able to be held.
Yeah, I'm sure Coachella won't, but I can tell you this, is that you get a band that's on the that needs money and has invested money, that I can guarantee you that if there's a state that'll let them do it, they're doing it. I can guarantee you that there's going to be at least a couple bands that play relatively big shows. So I bet you anything. If the states will allow it and they're allowed to do it, I guarantee you that there's bands. I don't know what the you know, how the exact contracts work. But if you can legally do it, I guarantee you there's some, you like, you don't think if like Loverboy and like Styx had a chance, and I'm not kidding, like had a chance to play like a
venue concerts.
No. I know.
I said large concerts.
Okay. No, but a venue that like they normally could never play because of, you know, no one likes them. But they felt there was an opportunity to play this venue that they wouldn't jump at the chance. I mean, there's going to be bands that are not. I mean, what would you consider a large venue? Like 10,000?
Yeah,
8,000.
They're talking about the Sheds or the TD Garden or you know places like that.
I bet you that there's bands that could never haven't been able to play a Shed in 30 years that could come back and play a Shed if there was no other thing happening. And I bet you that they do it. And I bet you, you know, and they're like Heshers, and like all the Heshers would go and, you know, not care. And
I got real quick two things. First of all, every time we mention concerts being canceled this summer, there's a guy, and I love him for this, always reminds me that Rammstein is still not canceled at Gillette Stadium. And I thank you for that. And he's right. It has not yet, as far as I know, been canceled. So
when
that's
is it?
Number one. I think it's, boy, end of August maybe. I forgot.
Okay.
The other thing is Mike from Woburn, you are on it, sir. He tweeted me something. He said, Indiana Jones did have the squirts in Raiders, and it's a link to a Snopes article that's titled, Did a Case of the Runs Lead to One of Raiders of the Lost Ark's Most Memorable Scenes? And I completely forgot. He's right. Do you remember the one of the most famous scenes in Raiders of the Lost Ark where he is in the middle of the crowd, and the crowd parts, and there's the one guy with the giant sword, and he starts flipping it around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Indiana Jones just pulls out the gun and shoots him. So I guess that was supposed to be some huge choreographed fight scene that Harrison Ford was supposed to learn how to do it, but he woke up sick that morning and was just said to Steven Spielberg, goes, can I just shoot the guy? And Spielberg laughed, and he's like, oh, sure, let's give it a try. And it became one of the most popular scenes in the movie. That was, of course, because he had the squirts that morning. So, Fred,
have you ever seen, like, grainy footage of the making of that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Why is all that so creepy? If there was, like, a big movie from when you were a kid, and then there's, like all the Star Wars behind-the-scenes stuff seems super creepy to me.
Take a look at the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man stomping down the road in Ghostbusters. There is footage of that, and it's just like the big scale, like city. And that's even pretty creepy, to be quite honest, when you take a look at it.
Yeah, I guess it's because you were a kid, and like, you know, that was kind of like you fell into the universe. Like your ability to put aside disbelief was such that you believed that the stuff was like sort of, you know, you knew it wasn't real, but like you threw yourself into that world. Mm-hmm. Like seeing Vader and Luke like fighting on this stage that's, you know, 2 feet off the ground with mattresses all over the place. Yes. It's like kind of effed up. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
So I'm being told by that gentleman, September 6th is Rammstein, just to let you know,
okay.
Not canceled yet. Rammstein
can't cancel because it would take away everything Rammstein's about. And plus, you got to figure that fire kills Corona.
So, and think about it, too. If really September, no better way than the NFL to say, we're open for business than having it at Gillette Stadium, right?
I mean, Rammstein's got to go down kicking and screaming. Or it does not live up to their image. Rammstein cannot be afraid of a virus. Rammstein is the virus.
They are the virus. And apparently they use so much pyro that it's going to be hot there. And doesn't heat kill the virus?
That's what I'm saying. That's what they're saying.
Yep.
I mean, I ain't got it. And I'm down here in the dirty. So, I mean, Rammstein can't. Rammstein's going to have to go out kicking and screaming. It actually might be kind of humorous when they eventually cancel the show. Rammstein's response, you Americans, you can't take anything. Rammstein kill virus.
Well, speaking of things that were creepy when you were a kid, this is an article that I'm fascinated with. It's from a Minneapolis magazine. The city pages there goes, if you happen to be in northeast Minneapolis standing in the right place at the right time, you might be lucky enough to catch a glimpse of a shiny black ice cream truck trundling towards you. You'll quickly surmise that this is no ordinary ice cream vehicle. Sure, it's playing that familiar Twinkie little jingle all the other trucks play, but it's also blaring Lamb of God out the windows. And all those tasty-looking treats emblazoned on the side, those appear to be heavy metal logos stuck onto popsicle sticks. And as this devilish black truck approaches, you'll notice one other thing. It's not stopping. As it zips away, leaving you standing on the sidewalk with your money in your hand, you might catch a glimpse of the driver. His name is Matt Peterson. His truck's name is Hell General. The only thing the truck dispenses are metal music and disappointment. Peterson says the idea for his demonic contraption came to him after his own Batman villain-esque experience with an evil ice cream man. When he was 10 years old, Peterson said he flagged down a jangly truck eager to get a creamy treat and realized he didn't have any money in his Ninja Turtle swimming trunks. He promised he'd return with the money and sprinted back to his house to get some. By the time he reached his front porch, the ice cream man was pulling away. He pounded on the porch window to try and get him to stop, only to shatter the glass into a billion pieces and cut the dickens out of his wrist. Quote, I realized one thing at that moment. The ice cream man was one sick mother effer. As happens in so many good villains' backstories, Peterson became the very thing that haunted him and maimed him as a child. An evil ice cream man who did not provide ice cream. He got the truck in 2009. Whenever he gets the itch, he coasts around the neighborhood, delighting passerby and demolishing their ice cream hopes. He's seen wonders. Grown men who've tried to foist money into his hand while they and Peterson drove at 25-mile-an-hour speeds. He smiled and peeled off. Fathers have asked him to explain to their 4-year-old kids why they can't have the popsicle they wanted. Smiling, he refused. He's seen 12-year-olds drive him away, watch their mouths form the words, "What the F?" It's glorious, and it's made him a celebrity here in Minneapolis. So there's like a dude who just goes around in an ice cream truck playing ice cream truck music and metal, and when anyone tries to buy ice cream, he just like peels off and just puts in the bird.
It sounds like not the idea of the ice cream truck, but the way it's painted sounds like everyone that went to North Farmington High School in about 1984. they all Zeppelin.